Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem, and this is Connecting Faith. We get together each weekday to talk about important issues and provide a faith perspective and ways that we can apply biblical principles to daily life. And our discussion today will certainly remind us of the needs that we have to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to particularly care for those and visit those that are in prison and, in this case, help the families of those that are in prison. We're going to spend some time talking about the good work of Prison Fellowship and particularly their wonderful program, Angel Tree, which we're involved in. And Ted Ross at the controls. Ted, we've had a good start already. You know, our goal as a Faith Radio Network group to see 1,000 kids reached with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. Mm-hmm. And over 193 children have been already, I don't know, we don't say claimed, or we've
sponsored.
We've raised the mm-hmm. funds to see that number reached. So
that's great. Just shy of 20% of our goal, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So. And hey, today also is Giving Tuesday. Do you know that?
That's true. Yes. Yeah. So this, well, what a great time to talk about a absolutely wonderful program, and we're just so glad to have had the opportunity to partner with Angel Tree last year, and this is our second year doing this, and I believe God's just going to continue to do some great work through this ministry. Let me introduce our guest today, because Jim Liske knows Angel Tree, and he knows Prison Fellowship as the CEO. He's been leading Prison Fellowship in this role as CEO since 2011. It's Prison Fellowship, of course, Justice Fellowship, and the Colson Center for Christian Worldview. And you hear Breakpoint each weekday morning here in Austin Hill in the morning. That's one of the great outreaches from the Colson Center. Well, as a nation a leader of the nation's largest ministry to prisoners and ex-prisoners and their families, Liske has visited and spoken at prisons across the country, assuring inmates that no life is beyond the reach of God's grace. During his previous nine-year tenure as a senior pastor at Ridgepoint Community Church, a congregation in western Michigan, Liske gained extensive hands-on prison ministries. We're going to find out a little bit about that, how he as a pastor got involved in that. But Jim, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Good to have you on.
Thank you, Neil. Great to be with you today.
You know, there's an awful lot of attention these days on racial divides in our country and as it relates to police and all those things, and we don't necessarily have to talk about Ferguson, Missouri, but it does, I guess, bring up the fact that it seems like many would say that our criminal justice system is, if not broken, it's in serious need of repair. And I'm just wondering, maybe from your view as a CEO of Prison Fellowship Ministries, what's working and what doesn't work about our system today?
Well, Neil, let me preface it with the fact that we have the best criminal justice system in the world, and we have the privilege and the blessing to live in a democracy, which means that when there are difficulties with a system, we have the ability to make the changes. Simply put, Neil, we've asked for pretty much 40 years now, how do we get bad people out of our neighborhood? And that's taken our prison population from 230,000 across the country to 2.3 million. We say that really it's the wrong question. And the right question is, how do we bring good people home? And really, when you even look at a situation like Ferguson, we'll be involved in Ferguson here coming up in the next few weeks. And the way we're going to be involved is by gathering together those who have been to prison, who now live in Ferguson, who found Christ, who understand that their calling, their Romans 8:28 moment, is to now live out what they've learned in their God-guided life, and how do they become part of the solution, and prayerfully actually connecting ex-offenders who are living out their faith in the community with law enforcement. And how do we bring good people home who not only don't break a law themselves, but are part of the grace of Jesus Christ being applied to a community. There are 65 million people across America who have a criminal record, who had some kind of interaction with the criminal justice system. Just imagine if we were bringing good people home every time one of the 700,000 individuals come home each year out of America's prisons. What if they went back to communities like Ferguson, understanding their calling to be the salt and light of the world, having been prepared through their time in prison, and were able to take the gospel to the neighborhoods where they used to break the law? That is the vision that we have, the vision that Chuck Colson, our founder, had, to actually see the redemption and the restoration of individuals. That's what will bring change in places like Ferguson, Missouri.
Jim, say a little word about, you mentioned Chuck Colson, of course, founder of Prison Fellowship. It's a wonderful ministry, but give us a little sense of the scope of the work that you're doing right now.
Well, we're in every state in the country working in prisons. Really answering the call by criminal justice organizations, by legislators, by corrections people, asking us to come and help. You know, when Chuck was in prison nearly 42 years ago now, it really was his realization that the individuals in prison with him were being forgotten, and that we had lost sight, even as a church, of every individual being created in the image of God, and that no one was outside of not only the reach of the gospel, but the calling of the Father to be part of the kingdom coming to the community that they were in. And so for 40 years, we've endeavored to go into the prisons to work with inmates, families, to work with legislators, with governors, with attorneys general, with law enforcement, to actually restore the lives of those who have made choices, are serving the sentences that they deserve to serve. But when that sentence is over, as Chuck would say, coming home as living monuments to the glory of God and really bringing the kingdom into their communities. So we have the joy of working with legislators and working with changing laws and public policy that do create safer communities. Not give us some kind of a false understanding of safety because we simply are putting more people in prison. But what really brings about safety in a community? We have a great joy of working in corrections across the country and in the federal system. And then the great joy of working to raise up churches who are receiving inmates when they come home, are working to prevent crime by teaching a Christian worldview and working with leaders in community through the Colson Center, all for a very simple task of restoring the lives of those affected by crime and incarceration.
We'll talk about one of the great programs in more detail as we go along here. We're going to talk about Angel Tree. You're talking to Jim Liske, CEO of Prison Fellowship Ministries. And Jim, you kind of alluded to it, but you know, they're saying, about 2.5 million children whose fathers or mothers are incarcerated in the federal or state prison system. I mean, it's obviously this is a huge issue in our nation, and it certainly seems like the children and families suffer maybe more than we realize.
I think we forget, Neil, that the children are the first victims of the crime. We talk about restorative justice, and restorative justice has three components. When someone breaks a law, a community is wounded, a victim is wounded, and the person who breaks the law is wounded themselves. And part of that community are the families. And what we encounter on a daily basis at Prison Fellowship is the effect of generational engagement with the criminal justice system and what that does to the children. What we know is out of the 2.7 million children in America who have at least one incarcerated parent is that 70% of those children will also go to jail if there's not an intervention. If someone doesn't step into that child's life, into the family's life, and give a different vision, a different direction. We all know that in some way we follow our families. We follow our parents. And so it's not unreasonable to think that a child who has seen two, maybe even three generations of the people in their family go to prison, that becomes normative. Going to jail becomes normative. And what we have the opportunity to do through something as simple as Angel Tree and through the Ministry of Prison Fellowship on a day-to-day basis is help children see another vision and also help inmates become teachers with their own children, encouraging those children to take a different path. If you want to put that in perspective, Neil, 2.7 million children comes out to about one in every 38 children in America. So consider an elementary school classroom. That's about 30 to 40 kids. One in every 38 children in America have an incarcerated parent.
that's just a number that boggles the mind. And then to think that, you know, 70% are going to follow in the footsteps and get, you know, as you say, the generational engagement. Breaking the cycle really needs to be a top priority.
It really does. You guys are centered in Minneapolis today, so you know, a shout out to the people in Minnesota. You know, in Minnesota, you've not only served all of your kids in Angel Tree, but you have some churches in Minnesota who are reaching out to communities in Florida and empowering churches in Florida to reach out to the children. We know in South Dakota that, you know, the majority of individuals who are incarcerated in South Dakota actually come from the First Nations, from Native American families, and the difficulty that there is to engage the family, particularly in the Native American community. And so not only is it our own neighborhood, but it is so vitally important that as a country we're understanding that this really is something that is a national issue, that if we don't take the gospel into this area, we aren't going to see a shrinking prison population. We run the risk of seeing a tsunami sweep over us in the next years.
One of the goals of Prison Fellowship is, I know this year, to for Angel Tree to reach 375,000 children of incarcerated parents in the U.S. We want to do our part here at Faith Radio, see 1,000 of those kids reached through our involvement and investment, through the generosity of our listening family. And the phone number to be involved today is 855-59-ANGEL. That's 855-592-6435. Or you can go online and make a gift today and a commitment to Angel Tree Ministries at myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. We're talking with Jim Liske, who's the CEO of Prison Fellowship Ministries, including the good work of Angel Tree. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. We'd love to have you join the conversation as well. Perhaps you've been a volunteer, Angel Tree volunteer. We'd love to have you just share out of your experience. Or maybe you've been a recipient. We'd love to know that as well. If you'd like to just listen in or be part of the conversation, you can call us at 877-93-FAITH. More with Jim Liske, CEO of Prison Fellowship, as we talk Angel Tree today on Connecting Faith.
Prison, and I haven't seen him in a long time.
And so we walk up to the door, and I knocked on it.
My kids had toys.
One little boy just was thrilled with his gift of a fishing pole.
When I was incarcerated, my children felt like Daddy left them.
God used Angel Tree to get me closer to him.
One little girl said, "Tell my daddy I don't hate him anymore."
"Hi, Dad, I miss you, and I hope you miss me."
Then I said, "Oh, Lord, there really is someone that cares for us."
Talking about Angel Tree today, and happy to have on the line Jim Liske, who's the CEO of Prison Fellowship Ministries, including Prison Fellowship, Justice Fellowship, the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, and one of their wonderful ministries is, in fact, Angel Tree. It got started, well, Jim, you could maybe just tell a little story. It was back in the early 80s, I think, right, that Angel Tree actually got underway.
It was. We've been doing Angel Tree now for 38 years, and literally millions of children have been served through Angel Tree. The legislature of California last year actually gave us a special commendation for serving 1 million children in the state of California in our 38 years of doing the ministry.
I didn't realize it, I guess, until last year when we first started, partnering that. And you kind of mentioned talking a little bit about Minnesota and South Dakota and elsewhere. The fact is that what many families with the if their parents are in a federal prison, they could be hundreds or thousands of miles away. So the likelihood of them having any sort of regular connection is pretty slim, isn't it?
It's really true, Neil. Even certainly in our northern states, even to be in a state facility may mean that you, for instance, live in Sioux Falls, your family's in Sioux Falls, but you're incarcerated closer to Spearfish. And for Angel Tree, for a parent to be able to sign a child up, and it all starts with the inmate. It all starts in June or July when the inmate is given the opportunity to act like a parent, to do a parent-like thing, and to fill out an application for his or her children, to put down what that child's favorite color is. And you know, sometimes when that parent is asked what's the child's favorite color, they have to wait until after the next visitor phone call because that parent has never asked that child what is your favorite color. And the good news is that now a parent conversation starts the next time they're together. And that parent signs that child up. Even that simple act, I want your listeners to understand that when an inmate, when a prisoner starts seeing him or herself as something other than a criminal, their chance of going back to prison goes down. So even starting to act like a parent and starting to understand that I am a parent, I have a different label, that's actually something that causes communities to be more safe. Then that information comes to Prison Fellowship. We vet it, make sure that it's as accurate as we can possibly make it. And then it gets to assign to a church or a civic organization. And when that gift is delivered, I know my wife Kathy and I, we get the opportunity to get down on our knees and look at a child, a little boy or a little girl, and deliver a message from the parent. Because when the parent signs the child up, Neil, they write a personal message. And the person delivering the gift gets to get down on their knees and look at a child and say, your daddy wants you to know, your mother wants you to know. And it's personalized from the inmate, from the prisoner to the child. That child gets to go back to school after Christmas then, Neil, and say, along with the rest of the children, my parent got me. And you're right. It may be the only contact that parent has with that child in the entire year because of the distance between the incarceration and the family.
You know, you talked about just sort of acting like a parent, that you have to see yourself other than a criminal. I mean, one of the things that, you know, we haven't touched on is just the whole area of recidivism and the fact that, you know, so many end up returning. And I know Prison Fellowship Ministries has really been uniquely positioned to kind of break that cycle as well. Talk a bit about that.
Well, we have the joy of seeing that when individuals in prisons across the United States are engaged in units that are based in the gospel and on the life of Jesus and the truth of Scripture, that about 10% of those individuals choose to break the law again after they're out, where the national average is about 65% of individuals choose to break the law. In Minnesota, we've been able to have our programming there for several years now, and it was the state of Minnesota that said that out of prison fellowship programming, less than 1% of individuals were going back to prison after release. And so we know that when an individual goes through a transformation from the inside out, when they see themselves as a child of God through Jesus, when they gain a purpose in their life other than selfishness, we see that they want to be part of safe communities. They want to be part of the body of Jesus. They want to be part of the kingdom, and they don't want to break the law anymore. And so it's been a blessing. It's just what the gospel says, that when Jesus enters our life, we're a new creation. We're something totally different. Our identity changes from selfish to child of God to servant. And it's just a beautiful transformation, Neil, that I get to go in and talk to the men and women in prison and actually see the difference in their lives. It's beautiful to watch the miracle.
You know, it's probably especially us as believers and citizens that haven't spent time incarcerated, that maybe we need to change our attitudes a little bit, because there's a lot of sort of lock them up and throw away the key sort of thing. And, you know, if folks have paid for their, you know, their misdeeds, then, you know, we need to, as you say, welcome them back home.
Well, that would be the question that we ask in legislatures across the country is, when does the sentence end? We do believe in the rule of law in our country, and it's appropriate that when laws are broken, that there is an equal and opposite reaction to that, that there needs to be some penance paid. But when does the sentence end, and when does a person come home? Neil, you talked about my time in the pastorate, and you know, I was a pastor for 28 years before I came to Prison Fellowship, and I believe that you know, the local church is God's plan A, and there's not a plan B. And at Prison Fellowship, we serve the local church. And one of the things that I really began to own after one of my family members went to prison was a little phrase that started to ring in my ear. And when I started to understand that for many people who find themselves in prison, addiction was part of the issue. Drugs and alcohol are part of of what's happening in their life. And I started to say and teach, and I really own this personally now, that, you know, we're all recovering from something and reentering from somewhere. All of us have some addiction. We have some idol that we utilize in place of God to try and solve the problems in our life. And even, you know, those with a European upbringing and good Norwegians in your part of the country, you know, many of us are workaholics. And we get our self-image out of working hard. And all of us are reentering from somewhere, even if it's from the prison of sin and selfishness. We've all been freed from the bondage of sin. And I think there is something that when we start understanding that, you know, we're all created in the image of God, and we're all recovering from something and reentering from somewhere. So what does that mean when I welcome someone home from prison? How do I walk alongside of them? You know, they may choose to go back, Neil. And that's the unfortunate reality, that for some people, the evil one has such a grip that they may choose to go back. But their choice does not affect my choice. And the calling of the church to come alongside of the broken and the destitute is very clear in the Gospels. And when we do that, I think we get to see unbelievable miracles in life transformation.
Jim, is that often the case, that it's through a personal experience in some way that people suddenly become interested in maybe volunteering or helping, or realizing that you know, there is a gospel call to care for those in prison?
It is. That's my experience, Neil. And I, you know, I had to confess to the church I was pastoring at the time here in Michigan when my relative went to prison. I had to stand up and be very vulnerable and admit that for 18 years of ministry as a pastor, I had not led any of my churches to really answer the call of Matthew 25 in its completion. You know, we're good with widows, and we're good with the hurting, we're good with the sick, and we're good with the homeless. But there's another group in that Matthew 25 list, which I believe that list is actually a strategy for revival. I don't think it's a Christian do-gooders list. It's a strategy for revival. If we consider that list and think that if we reached all of those individuals in that list with the gospel, what would happen to our country and our communities? And it is often, it takes some kind of a personal reaction or a personal experience that rises up our empathy, which I believe is really key to the incarnational ministry of Jesus. God sent Jesus at Christmas as a sign of God's empathy to be with us, to show us that as a God, he wasn't distant. And Jesus experienced everything that we experience. He was tempted in every way that we are tempted, but was without sin. He experienced our struggle, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, empathizing with us. And you know, when you have a family member that goes to prison and you experience the shame and you experience the temptation to hide, you really begin to empathize with families and what it's like to really want to just lower your head and not be noticed, because incarceration is part of your family's experience.
Great insight today from Jim Liske, who's the CEO of Prison Fellowship Ministries, including Prison Fellowship, Justice Fellowship, and the Colson Center for Christian Worldview. And one of their great ministries is Angel Tree. And we are excited here at Faith Rated to be able to partner in just a small way and seeing some lives changed and impacted this Christmas. Your gift, $84, will help reach 6 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. And you can be a part of it by actually going online right now and making a commitment at myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com. We're going to talk more with Jim Liske about Angel Tree and talk about what actually happens when those volunteers show up at the door. If you'd like to join the conversation, maybe you've been one of those Angel Tree volunteers, love to have you give us a call. You can join in at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484.
I was scared about Christmas without my dad, but not anymore.
Hi, Daddy, I love you.
I love you, Mom.
I want to wish him a happy Christmas.
This came from my dad? How did he know what I wanted?
When you get out of jail, be good and don't get on the streets no more.
Hi, Dad. I miss you, and I hope you miss me. Your son. Bye.
Well, those are just a few of the comments, the statements of Angel Tree gift recipients. And, you know, it's not just about a Christmas gift. It's also about the gospel and a message of love from an incarcerated parent. And we are honored to focus on that today for this hour of Connecting Faith. We are, as a Faith Radio Group, partnering with Angel Tree to see 1,000 kids reached with the Christmas gift and the gospel and the message of hope. And many have already taken their part. We thank you for that. You can be a part of it by going to our website at myfaithradio.com, or you can call this toll-free number, 855-59-ANGEL. That's 855-59-ANGEL. And your gift, whether it's $84 to help reach six children, or maybe it's 50, or it's 100, or it's whatever you want to give, we just thank you in advance. Jim Liske is the CEO of Prison Fellowship Ministries, and one of their great outreaches is the Angel Tree program. So we're just honored to have him on with us today. And Jim, before coming to Angel Tree, or before coming to Prison Fellowship, served as a pastor for a number of years. In fact, had a 9-year, 10-year senior pastor at Ridgepoint Community Church in Western Michigan. And Jim, you mentioned just before the break that, you know, it took sort of a personal experience for you to suddenly get involved. Talk about once you started addressing this ministry to prisoners in your congregation, sort of how did they respond, and maybe what advice do you have for other maybe pastors that might be listening today?
Well, Neil, that's a great question. We started by actually asking our congregation on one weekend, how many of you have an incarcerated family member? And we were shocked when 25 to 30% of the individuals in our predominantly middle-class, kind of traditional, seemingly healthy community raised their hand. And so I would encourage pastors and church leaders to ask the question. And I think, like myself and the elders in our church, you may be shocked at how many people have sat silently. And, you know, not everyone was thrilled with it, Neil. Not everyone in the faith community thought it was a great idea for us to start welcoming ex-offenders into our community. But I can say that, you know, I love measuring things. I love to know, you know, if what we're doing is actually making a difference. And what we experienced as a church, that the more recovering addicts and returning citizens from prison we had in our congregation, the deeper we became spiritually and the faster we grew. And we just accredited that to us just being obedient to the word. And it also was the fact that now all of us who'd kind of grown up in the church, we were really becoming mentors to these individuals who were brand new to Christianity. And we really had to sharpen ourselves. It was the best men's ministry we'd ever had, because a lot of the men coming back from prison, you'll need a dad. That's one of the big issues, is they never had a dad. And so suddenly our 50 and 60-year-old men were mentoring these individuals coming back from prison. God was gracious to us, and we were able to work with the government here in Michigan and with the state to develop the Michigan Prisoner Reentry Initiative. And God opened the doors for us to actually just really welcome a lot of churches into this movement. And Michigan has experienced a drop, a considerable drop in its recidivism, the rate at which people go back to prison after they get out, because of the church's engagement. But it wasn't always easy, and we did have situations where we kind of wondered if this was the right thing to do, but God always affirmed that when he calls us to do something in Scripture, he gives us the ability and he rewards it. And I would encourage pastors to just ask the question, what can my church do in this situation? It may not be welcoming individuals back. It may be providing transportation. It may be providing some resources to a reentry program in the city you're in. It may be providing volunteers for an aspect of this. Or maybe it's just praying over the corrections people in your community. But what is the church's responsibility in healing the individuals who find themselves in brokenness? I guarantee you that when you do Matthew 25 and its fullness of the church, God brings great things. I've got all kinds of stories of, you know, how men and women who came to the church and found acceptance in the church, how they said that for the very first time in their life, they understood what it was like to be loved unconditionally. And, you know, I still attend the church where I pastored, and I go back on weekends. You know, I see some of these guys that were in the early parts of the ministry more than 10 years ago. They're now the ushers. They're now the ones working in the cafes. They're the ones volunteering to clean the church. And to see them mature and develop as individuals in Jesus is just an unbelievable blessing. And many of them came home and were able to reunite with their families because the Angel Tree kept them connected to their kids while they were doing their time.
Talk about what it looks like for a volunteer to sort of get plugged into Angel Tree, and you know, just what that experience is like, maybe for the first time around.
It can be a bit frightening, Neil. I'll be honest with you that you're often, you know, delivering these gifts in parts of the town, parts of your town and your city that you wouldn't drive into. Matter of fact, some of the addresses are going to be in places where you actually avoid. And, you know, you call the caregiver and you make an appointment to come. And you know, sometimes that caregiver is a little skeptical, right? Here's somebody showing up on the door and they're bringing a gift and I don't know them. But, boy, when that door opens and you're able to kneel down with that child and you see the look in the eyes of a young boy or a young girl when you give them the message from their parent, you know, kids don't reject their parents when they go to jail because mom or dad is still mom or dad. And when they receive a gift and when they look into the eyes of someone who's coming to present that gift, not because you have to, but because you've chosen to, those children have a sense of being valued that they don't experience in their life very often. I often look at the children of the incarcerated and think that they just feel invisible. They have a stigma. They don't even know what it is as a child, but they just know that what's happened in their family is not accepted by society. The church has an unbelievable opportunity to go to that door and knock on the door and have a volunteer say, you know what, it doesn't matter what your parents has done. Jesus loves you. And here's a gift from your parents, and here's the gospel. Here's the story of how Jesus came for you. Here's the story of a gift that came to you that you didn't deserve. And it's such a presentation of the beauty of Christmas. I guarantee that any of your listeners that do this once, it won't be one and done. You're going to be hooked. Because you're going to receive such a blessing. Kathy and I are doing a number of children this year in Muskegon, Michigan. And we'll take a day and we'll go knock on doors. And if our kids are home, they'll go with us. We have grown kids. And frankly, it's one of the highlights of my Christmas to be able to go and to really help a child stay connected. You know, I met a girl in a young lady actually in Florida. And her dad is serving a life sentence. And he began serving the sentence when this young lady was 12. And because of Angel Tree, this dad stayed connected to his daughter and was able to encourage her, keep his relationship going with her. She now leads an accounting department at a small business in Florida. And she came up to me and she said, Jim, please tell people that because of Angel Tree, my dad was able to do something that everyone else's dads did. Give me a gift at Christmas. And she said, I know some people may think that getting a present from your dad is not that big of a deal, but she said, but when your dad is incarcerated and he can't shop, he can't deliver it, he can't be there, when that gift shows up under the tree because someone helped my dad be a dad, she looked at me and she said, that's when I knew that Jesus was real. Because the people that said Jesus was real did for my dad and for me what we couldn't do on our own. That's the substantial nature of being a volunteer for Angel Tree. It helps break the cycle of crime and causes families to be reunited.
You know, just to be that sort of living example of grace, right? It just, you know, we hear the Christmas story, the message so often, it sort of just maybe goes by us. You know, yes, we know God loves us, but, you know, to be able to really sort of put that in action. I mean, it does something not only for the receiver, but the giver as well.
Well, it really is that manifestation of, behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? Of Jesus pursuing us. Here we get to go with a gift, the gift of Christmas. We get to go knock on the door. We get to pursue this child who, because of the activity of a parent, actually is feeling very alone and abandoned for no act of their own. Oftentimes living in poverty, we know that to be true, that the children of the incarcerated don't do as well in school. They don't do as well economically. They don't do as well when it comes to their future relationships. We know that to be the case, and this is the simple act of the gospel. You said it, Neil. It's grace. It's providing something for someone that they don't deserve simply because the same thing was done for us. It's more than a gift. It's really a connection. We encourage volunteers. You're going to show up at that door, and you go probably to a great church that has children's ministry and ministry to single parents. Hey, invite that family, invite that caregiver to partake in what you may see every day or every weekend to take for granted. Invite them to come to church with you. Invite them to be part of your faith community. If that happens, your church will do reentry when that parent comes home, because I guarantee you that if you care for the family of the prisoner while they're in prison, when they get out, they're going to want to know what's happening at your church. Then you're going to be in the ministry of helping that individual reenter, but you're just going to do it naturally. You're just going to do it the way the church does it. We're built for this. We just need to be intentional in doing it.
Now, Jim, I was thinking, and not long ago we did a program talking about, you know, helping those in need without causing hurt, or maybe reinforcing attitudes that don't point toward ultimate solutions. So maybe talk about how Angel Tree really meets that criterion in terms of helping without hurting.
Well, it's really important that we do ministry with people and not to people. I think sometimes we get really good at making people a project. And you know, that's why, you know, Angel Tree, why we say go to the door and knock on the door. Go and empathize. Go into that individual's community. Don't just send it in the mail. Really help that individual feel like a person, a child of God. When we enable people to live in a particular arena, we're not helping them. When we do for them, when we should be doing with them, we're not helping them. And that's why inviting them to be part of your church's life, or being a caregiver to a parenting class, how do we help them be who God has created them to be? Not how do we do for them in a way that really God has for them to do for themselves. You know, part of the joy that's built into our life is the joy of work, the joy of accomplishment, the joy of entrepreneurialism. And there's really is an insulting factor to always being receiving without having to have the joy, without being able to have the joy of investing in something. And when Angel Tree, when we show up with that package, you know, it's not just giving a gift. It's now that caregiver being able to have something under the tree for the child. And it's also the opportunity that the child now has to go to that parent visit at the prison and say thank you to the parent, because it didn't come from the volunteer. It came from the parent, and the volunteer assisted the parent in doing the right parental thing. And we say if individuals are going to come home from prison and come home in a healthy manner, they need to come home prepared to give, because that's the way we've been created by God. We've been created to give and to engage and to be in community. And we really see that as a key to the church really being part of the solution to the issues of crime in our communities. How do we come alongside and help people be all they're called to be in Jesus Christ? We're uniquely prepared, Neil, because of the Great Commission. There's no other institution on planet Earth that's been given the mandate by God to mentor and disciple, only the church. And so when we talk about how powerful mentoring is and how powerful coming alongside of people is, the church is gifted to be able to do that, not to do things for people, but to do it with them and alongside of them, helping them find the joy of being all they're created to be in Jesus Christ. That's why the inmate signs the child up. That's why we at Prison Fellowship don't just grab some arbitrary list and send things to children. We want the parent to understand you're the parent, we're the helper, and we'll help you cause your child to feel cared for and loved and to understand the gospel at Christmas.
We're talking about Angel Tree, a way that we can help meet and reach children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. Talking about it with Jim Liske today, who's CEO of Prison Fellowship Ministries, has been a longtime pastor and has been leading Prison Fellowship and Justice Fellowship in the Colson Center for Christian Worldview here in the since 2011. On with us today on Connecting Faith. We're going to just have him share another story or two, and then we'll hear one of the testimonies of a recipient, and we'll get to that in just a moment here. Stay tuned to Connecting Faith.
Oh. opening it, we were so amazed seeing as these presents were from my father.
And so we walk up to the door and explain to her who we were. And as I'm doing that, from the back of the room, I hear this little voice go, I knew my daddy wouldn't forget me.
People don't even know me. I'm in prison. Why would anybody care about me and my kids?
Christmas just wasn't an option had it not been for Angel Tree.
The big wall of bars starts to open. Chad runs over and he starts hollering, I've got a daddy. I've got a daddy.
Powerful stories. We're going to hear one in just a moment. Jim Liske, CEO of Prison Fellowship Ministries. One of their great outreaches is Angel Tree, and hopefully you've been involved in it, maybe through your church here at Faith Radio. We want to be involved and to kind of help pick up some of the slack of those children that aren't taken. The angels aren't picked off the tree, and we're going to hear a story in a moment. But Jim, maybe just in general, I know we've had these. We've got some wonderful audio testimonies. These are real people that have experienced Angel Tree in a variety of ways, right?
They are, Neil. We actually have so many stories. We wish we had more avenues to tell them. And the stories your listeners will hear are real people who've been touched indelibly by the ministry. I also want your listeners to understand that it kind of works in reverse, too. I met an inmate in Texas. And he admittedly signed his kids up because he just thought it would be a good way to get his kids a free gift. And he was a practicing Muslim. And what happens when you're from the Islamic community, when you go to prison, they kind of put you on hold. And they don't care for your family. When you come out, you know, you reenter the community. But while you're in prison, you're a little bit persona non grata. And when his kids came to visit him in January, they brought the gospel message that is given with every Angel Tree gift. It's a beautiful booklet that explains the gospel at the level of the child's age. And his child brought him the gospel message as his child's Christmas gift to dad in January. And this man was so moved that Christians would not only give his child a gift, but would do it personally and would do it in his name and would honor him as a dad and would provide such a clear message of hope that this man decided to follow Jesus. That if there was a community out there that would not reject him because of his behavior, but would accept him through the eyes of Jesus, that's what this man wanted. And he and his family decided to follow Jesus instead of be part of the Nation of Islam. And we hear stories of that all the time when men who, again, sign their kids up for a free gift, after Christmas, their children and the caregivers of their children, their moms or their girlfriends or their wives, are so moved by what happens that the men in prison actually see such a picture of the gospel that their hearts are transformed through a personal relationship with Jesus. So it's significant. Chuck used to say that Angel Tree is the ministry that we do that has the most number of touch points, that it affects the inmate, the chaplain, the volunteers, the child, the caregiver, and the church, all in one single program. And it is one of those things that is such a clear presentation of the gospel. But these are stories that your listeners will hear of just real people that we get to go out and talk to. Neil, this is so significant to the inmates, but this time of the year, we receive checks from inmates. Now, understand that inmates make somewhere between 20 and 30 cents an hour, depending on what state or federal system they're in. But we have inmates sending us checks for $20, $25, thanking us for Angel Tree, thanking us for reaching out to the children. And, you know, I send personal notes back to individuals that give in a significant way, and every one of these individuals get a letter from me that they give. These inmates give literally the widow's mite because they see Angel Tree as so important to the lives of the children.
Well, Jim, as you alluded to earlier, this could be the seeds of revival within our criminal justice system, right? Just a simple act like Angel Tree, giving a Christmas gift in the gospel and a message of love.
Well, consider the city that you live in as a listener, and consider the parts of that city where the most crime happens. the individuals in those communities and in those neighborhoods are the experts as to why that crime is taking place. I believe that the answer to that crime is in America's prisons today, because they're the experts at breaking the law, which consequently makes them the experts in understanding how the law can be followed. And when those individuals come home passionate about Jesus, they reconcile with their families, and that's the bridge that's built through Angel Tree, is the ability to find that reconciliation, and they go back into the neighborhoods where they broke the law, maybe the corner on which they stood to sell drugs, and they go stand on that corner, and they give the message of Jesus. Neil, that's what will bring revival to the parts of our cities that are struggling the most. 700,000 men and women come home every year. What if they came home prepared to preach and teach and live out the gospel in their neighborhoods? I do believe that it is possible for revival to come out of America's prisons and to be visited back into our communities. And Angel Tree is a significant part of that preparation.
Amen. Thanks to Jim Liske, CEO of Prison Fellowship Ministries. They're a great work. You can find out about them. You hear Breakpoint every morning. I encourage you to listen to that. And I hope that you will be a part of the Angel Tree broadcast. Jim, we're going to wrap up with a story today. And I want to just thank you for your time and for the great work you're doing. And pray that this would be a great year of ministry all across the country.
Well, Neil, on behalf of inmates and inmates' children across the country, I want to thank you and all of your listeners and wish all of you a very, very merry Christ-filled Christmas.
Listen now to the story of Antonio and Alicia, and then we'll talk about how you can be involved as we continue and wrap up Connecting Faith.
The most passionate Angel Tree volunteers are those who have themselves been rescued. Do you know what it's like to absolutely hit bottom? Antonio remembers.
When I was incarcerated, my children felt like Daddy left them. Daddy didn't care about them. They were left back with their mom struggling because I cared more about drugs than I did about them.
Back home, Alicia wanted and expected nothing from Antonio. This was his fourth time back in prison, and she thought no power on earth could save him.
If you'd have known him 10 years ago, you wouldn't want to be in the same room with him. He was a very scary person. He was very violent and very selfish. And when God broke him, he broke him.
God visited Stateville cell T-235.
God came when I was in prison in Stateville in cell T-235. Is the first time that I met Jesus Christ. As soon as I got a taste of Jesus, that sweet, sweet taste of Jesus, is when I began just trying to serve the Lord. It's not about me at all anymore. It's about Jesus. It's about my wife. It's about my children.
Antonio and Alicia know desperation, but they also know restoration. Their pastor asked them to head up Angel Tree for their church. That first year, they stretched their resources and decided their little church in the middle of a crime-ridden, drug-infested neighborhood could reach out to 10 children.
We asked for 10 children's names, and we got them. And I was just curious at how many more children there were that weren't taken. And I was told that there were 75 other children that were on the list for Angel Tree, and no church had taken them.
We can celebrate 10 children being remembered, but we can't ignore 75 children denied. For Antonio, it was especially troubling. He knows what Angel Tree means to an incarcerated parent.
That's a very big thing in prison, to be able to fill out the application in hopes that some kind person, they're going to give from their heart. And that gift is not coming from them. It's addressed with my name on it. And Angel Tree is a worthy cause.
Will you partner with Alicia and Antonio in this worthy cause? Can you help bring Christmas and the sweet love of Jesus to one or two Angel Tree kids?
Well, you could make a difference today. $84 will help reach six children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. Or maybe it's $50 or $100 or it's $1,000, whatever. Just thank you in advance for your generosity in this much-needed outreach. Again, as a Faith Radio family, we'd love to see 1,000 children reached, already almost 200, almost 20% of the way toward that goal. thanks to all those who have gotten involved so far. You can go online today and make a gift at myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com, or you can call this number, 855-59-ANGEL, 855-59-ANGEL. Thank you, and God bless you for this great step in reaching out today, making a difference. Have a wonderful Christmas. Thank you for listening to Connecting Faith. You'll be hearing the Angel Tree announcements and the stories throughout the next couple of weeks. So I hope that you will just pray about it and decide how you can be involved at this Christmas season. And if you missed a part of today's program, would like to hear a portion of Jim Liske's discussion or pass it on to a friend, you can always find it on our website. It's myfaithradio.com. Go to the Connecting Faith show page.